Podcasting from Nashville, Tennessee, this is your New Constructs Weekly Market Update. Visit us at newconstructs.com or tweet us at New Constructs. Here's your host, investor, and market veteran, David Trainer.
My last podcast on Tesla reminded me of another key topic, stupid money risk. You'll see that we write about this fairly often in our Danger Zone pieces because despite certain companies having terrible profits and extreme valuations, they'll still go up. The stocks will still go up. They'll get bought out. I've seen it happen many times. I've seen companies on the brink of going out of business see a run in the stock because they announced that Bank of America or some other Wall Street firm has been hired as a strategic advisor, which is Wall Street code speak for, please find someone to buy us before we go out of business. And more often than not, they're able to pull it off. The bankers can be very interesting, very convincing when they know they got money at stake. So with respect to Tesla in particular, the stupid money risk went way down when GM announced it was making a major entry and delivering in the electric car market, because now every major car maker, BMW, Nissan, Toyota, Ford, GM, Mercedes, they've all got something that can compete with Tesla now. There's no other major car maker out there who would want to buy Tesla as a quick way to get into that market. So that's really putting, I think, a top on the valuation of Tesla. There's no exit now that can justify the price this being this high. And as I said on the prior podcast on Tesla, look, you know, it's a great deal for people who buy Tesla right now because investors are effectively subsidizing the cost of that car. And so the stupid money risk point is with respect to Tesla, hey, there isn't as much stupid money risk. Stupid money risk with respect to shorting or selling the stock means that someone could come in and just keep paying a ridiculous price for it, in terms of just buying the stock or buying the company in general. And we see stupid money risk all the time, as I mentioned in the top of the podcast. And it basically means that you never know how someone else might be viewing this deal lots of the time. You can do all the work you want in the world and identify stocks that have every reason in the world to go down. I talk to some super smart institutional professional investors about shorting all the time. And really, one of the things we've come back to is that if you're going to short, you've got to be like Bill Ackman or David Einhorn. And you got to come out with a thesis that you can put into the press that basically makes everyone know what your thesis is so that thesis can play out as true, because the thesis can be right and the stock still move in the wrong direction because the popular mindset has a different idea of what's going on. And so, you know, as investors, you if you're going to be competitive in this market and you're dealing with people that can move stocks in the wrong direction for sustained periods of time, whether it's just high frequency traders moving stocks in a particular direction, big trading desks looking to move stocks in a particular direction before they get out, whether it's Bill Ackman or David Einhorn trying to move a stock in a particular direction so that they can make money in their portfolio. You know, you got to realize you're a small fish swimming with whales. You're a goldfish swimming with sharks. And that means you got to take advantage of what is available to you and all of it to build some advantage in yourself, for yourself. You got to make sure you study every single detail that's publicly available, because the stuff you can't see can kill you, even if you know all that stuff. And it will definitely kill you if you don't know everything you can know. And that means understanding everything in the K's and the Q's, gathering all the data, really understanding the business model. Don't listen to what Salesforce.com says about cash flow, because it's not true. Don't listen to what Amazon says about its free cash flow, because that's not true. And there are articles on our blog that prove it. I just had a meeting with the SEC today and explained to them. We had a good, great conversation about how these cash flow numbers are totally misused and misrepresented. It happens all the time. And at the end of the day, if you're not paying attention to all of the disclosures, which is what the SEC focuses on, and there's some really smart people there using a lot of great tools now to get this stuff done and fix things up. So I recommend to investors, take advantage of the hard work they're doing at the SEC. Take advantage of all the data that's available to you. The SEC's job is not to protect you from being duped by other players in the market. The SEC's job is to make sure that you have access to all the information you need to make a fully informed decision. And if you're buying into the hype about some of these overpriced stocks, that's on you. And maybe you wouldn't do it if you realize that companies like Salesforce.com, they have a negative return on invested capital. They're not generating profits anywhere close to what their cost of capital is. The returns on capital, I think, are going to be leading to write-downs in the not-too-distant future, as is the case with many of our danger zone candidates. So, stupid money risk really has two perspectives. One, you never know what someone else is going to do and in terms of buying or selling stocks because they're uninformed or they have some uninformed view, and make sure that's not you. That's the second point. We talk about stupid money risk as people who don't really know what's going on about the underlying profitability and evaluation coming in doing something that's really just non-economic. And we also talk about stupid money risk when internally we talk about making investment decisions without knowing all the facts. It's like a doctor diagnosing your health without doing a full body physical. Comes in, looks you in the face and says, your cheeks are a little pink and so maybe you got cancer. And that's all he says, and that's all he looks at. That's how most investors invest these days, based on the eye test. Looks good on CNBC, the pundits are talking about it, Cramer says bye, bye, bye. You know, that's basically just falling into the trap. Because you know what? In a few weeks, in a few days, someone else on CNBC is going to say sell, 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 and you'll sell. And then later they'll say bye, 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 and you'll buy, buy, buy. And you know what? They make money coming and going, whether you're buying and selling. They make money on the transaction. So pay attention to what you can build an advantage around. Pay attention to how you can protect yourself, and that is to take advantage of all of the information available to you and understand everything in the K's and the Q's and make sure that you build that into a model that helps you understand profitability so that you can make informed decisions and not fall into the trap of making the stupid money risk type of investments. Because we know most investors aren't stupid. They're very smart. The key is you got to work hard to make sure you gather the information to be good. It's just like sports. I love sports analogies. And the analogy I always, it's the way I coach my children. I say, listen, it's not enough to be talented. The best players in the world are not the guys that are the most talented. In fact, I think the pecking order goes like this. The best players in the world are the people that work the hardest and are the most talented. The next level are the people that work the hardest and aren't so talented. Behind them, you have the talented people who don't work hard. And at the bottom of the heap, you've got the people who aren't talented and who don't work. At the end of the day, success is about hard work. America is about hard work. And investing success comes only from hard work. Unless you want to rely on luck, in which case you might as well be buying the lottery tickets. And that's not investing anyway, that's speculation. And that'll be the subject of another podcast. There's a big difference between investing and speculating. If you're going to be a real investor, do your homework, understand what's in the K's and Q's.